Back in on the drive. Today's pop quiz was Varsity Blues. Dusty, what made you pick Varsity Blues today?
That scene just kind of reminds me of the Mahomes magic that's going on around town. I mean, you see Lance Harbor there, as you said, RIP Paul Walker. He kind of gives the speech, all the ladies in the crowd, oh, you woke up sad. And then he hits them with the, because I know we're going to beat Bainville by way more than that, which kind of remind me of Patrick Mahomes. Went to sleep last night, had a dream, going to beat the Colts. Woke up kind of sad because he said, woke up, the score was 31-7. He knows he's going to beat him 56-10.
The pop quiz was presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Fanning, I'm not going to lie to you.
I wouldn't want you to lie to me, be honest.
You sounded a lot like primetime Dion this week. This was your guy earlier this week on NFL Network.
I'm going with the Colts. Did you see the Indianapolis Colts last week in Houston? Matter of fact, I don't even know if Houston showed up. I don't even know if Houston realized that it was a home game. I was so mad at myself that I forgot and I didn't look at the stats of T.Y. Hilton versus the Houston Texans, or I would even mention the Texans all week. I was mad at myself. But what I saw in this game, I saw the old Andrew Luck, that Andrew Luck that deserving to be the first pick, that Andrew Luck that has no luck in his name. He's a bona fide baller. Then I looked on the defensive side of the ball and said, you got to be kidding me. These guys are passing that zone off and just playing real physical, hard-nosed, tough football like they used to once upon a time. I like these guys, man. If anybody could go and force an upset, it's going to be the Colts.
You think they're going to go to Kansas City and beat the MVP of the league, Patrick Mahomes?
I ain't say all that. I say they have the possibility.
Oh, okay.
You sound a lot like Deion this week.
I did.
But absolutely. I got something to say. I remember you told me this a long time ago.
Let them nuts hang blood.
If you're picking the Colts, grab your nuts and pick the Colts. Because I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Deion Sanders. I mean, look at all the great stuff about the Colts. Then Nate Burleson, like, you picking them? I ain't say I was picking the Colts. Well, then tell me why the Chiefs are going to win. Don't tell me why the Colts are dangerous. Tell me why the team you're picking is going to win. So, in the words of Brad Fanning,
let them nuts hang blood.
Who you picking in this game? If you're picking the Colts, then grab your nuts and pick the Colts. If you're picking the Chiefs, tell me why the Chiefs are going to win this game.
I told you guys all week, this game scares the hell out of me because of what the Colts have been doing and the way they're playing and how it matches up against the Chiefs. But I'm picking the Chiefs. I've been saying that. 31-28, Chiefs beat the Colts. I've said it on numerous occasions. I'm getting called out on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Everybody wants a piece of BF right now. Coming after me, calling me names, threatening me, all this stuff. When I'm just trying to point out that this isn't just going to be a one-seed cakewalk over number six. However, I do have some keys to victory for you. I got three of them that have to happen if the Chiefs are going to win this football game. You got me? Number one. I think if the Chiefs win the toss, what do they typically do? They defer, right?
They do defer.
Yeah, okay, don't defer right now. Because one of the things that we were talking to Sam Munson about, and the things that one of the things you and I have been talking about all week, is that the Colts are great when they play from ahead. And I went back and I looked at all their losses this year. When they lose, they're typically chasing somebody, you know, because they don't have the type of offense that can just go out there and put up 40. So take the football. If you win the toss, take the football. Because the last thing you want is Patrick Mahomes and the offense sitting on the sideline getting cold while your 31st-ranked defense gives up a 9-play, 75-yard, 8-minute drive.
So you're telling me if they lose the toss and the Colts get the ball first, you're already nervous?
Well, a little bit, yeah. Unless the Chiefs, I mean, I'll give the Chiefs defense this. When the Chiefs have, I mean, a lot of times they do get a 3-and-out or they get a decent stop in that opening drive. So all I'm saying, strictly from a weather perspective, you know, I don't want my quarterback and I don't want my offense over there sitting, you know, in ponchos over there, freezing their nards off, you know, trying to get on the field. So my first key to victory is if you win the toss, take the football.
I think it is imperative for both teams in this. Like most games, you want to start first.
Yeah.
I don't think the Colts are a very well-built, come-from-behind kind of team.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs can overcome it. Like, I'm not going to be that worried if the Chiefs are down 7-0 in this game. I know their offense is capable. If the Colts get down like that and you make this team one-dimensional and then you open up your ability to get to the quarterback, that drastically changes. So I would say it is more important for the road team to set the tempo than the Chiefs. I don't think the Colts can play the Chiefs game. I think the Chiefs can play the Colts game a little bit better.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is I want Mahomes coming out there and getting a rhythm quickly because we both agree that if the Chiefs are going to win this game, Mahomes is going to have a big game. I want him getting out there, getting playoff jitters out of there because we know we've seen him get amped up in big games before right out of the gate. Get him out. Get him on the field. Get that offense moving. That's my first key. Number two, Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens have to be able to shed some blockers. It is the only way the Chiefs can try and contain the Colts running game. Again, Marlon Mack of the Colts ran for 200 yards against the best rush defense in the league last week against the Houston Texans. That cannot happen tomorrow. It cannot happen. Because if it does, then the Chiefs are going to be in a really tight game with the Colts in bad weather, and anything can happen in that. So Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens have to figure out a way to shed blockers, because that's not something they've done very well. Because you've got to be able to – I'm not saying you're going to stop the Colts from running the football, but what if they get a lead and then they just run it and run it and run it and you can't stop it, and again, your offense is sitting on the side of the field in really bad weather conditions, and then they come out there, they're out of sync a little bit, and things can go wrong. So Ragland and Hitchens have to come up big, shed blockers, and be a big part of the run stop.
This just goes with what I've been saying all year. The best defensive player for the Kansas City Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes. I've seen enough of Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens to know that if it's going to be like the game against the Texans where the Colts are going to run the ball 35 times and run from ahead, that they are not going to do what you think they are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That the best run defense the Chiefs have is being ahead in the game and forcing the Colts to throw the football.
Agreed.
That's the best run defense that they have, because we've seen this team play similar teams like the Colts that you think can establish the line of scrimmage and run the football. They haven't performed well in any of those scenarios against the run.
You're right. So they've got to do a better job of this. They got to figure out a way to get off the field and at least stop the run. And then the last one that I have is make sure that Colts tight end Eric Ebron doesn't have a huge game. I mean, he's not Travis Kelce, but he's really, really, really good. I mean, Ebron is a big-time red zone threat. And the Chiefs don't defend the tight end well. They're not the worst in the league. Fortunately, the Colts are. But they don't defend the tight end well. And Ebron's really good. He's got 13 touchdowns this year. I think 11 of them are in the red zone. To put it in perspective for you, Travis Kelce has 10 touchdowns. Now, I know the Chiefs have more weapons, and he's not going to get as many footballs as a guy like Eric Ebron is, but they've got to figure out a way to at least make sure that he doesn't have a huge game, because Ebron's going to get his.
I would say both teams in this are really struggling against the other team's defense. I was reading I was reading a story on Arrowhead Pride, and they were talking about how you would probably give the Colts an F against tight ends, and you maybe give the Chiefs like a D+ against tight ends. The Colts this season have allowed 107 catches and 1,234 yards this season to the tight end spot.
Yeah,
it makes sense. They run a zone defense. The middle of the field's completely vulnerable. You have your tight end sit in the middle of the field and completely exploit them. I was listening to a lot of Indianapolis sports talk this morning, and we'll play a lot of it. They are really worried about big plays. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think the Colts are, even with Andrew Luck, a little bit of a paper cut offense. Run the ball here, dink and dunk here, just because of the arm strength. I've seen enough Andrew Luck to know he's not the same Andrew Luck that you played in the wild card game. That game was at home. He was a healthier quarterback. That it is a lot less down the field, and it's a lot more horizontal than I think with this team. That it makes sense to how Ebron's having a good year. Luck maybe doesn't have the down-the-field ability that he used to have. You go get him an athletic tight end like Eric Ebron. Ebron's having the season that I think many people thought when he came out of North Carolina. Remember, he got drafted to the Lions with Matthew Stafford. You were thinking he'd be the perfect safety valve, especially when you had Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate on the other side. Now he goes to the Colts. He's having a career this year.
And it kind of goes with what Sam Munson was saying from Pro Football Focus earlier in the show. I mean, he said, you know, Luck's getting rid of the ball quicker. So the downfield stuff is going to be there because he's getting rid of the ball quicker, and that's perfect for a guy like Eric Ebron. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to have to at least make sure that he doesn't have a huge game. So my keys are basically this. If the Chiefs, you know, win the toss, take the football, so Mahomes and the offense isn't on the sideline, Ragland and Hitchens have to find a way to shed some blockers and get off the field so they can stop that Colts running game, or at least try to, and then make sure that Ebron doesn't have a huge game. I think if they do those three things, I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. I think they'll win this game. Is that positive enough for you?
Yeah, no, that is. I remember Sean Barber, he was talking a lot about this when we had him on this week. We talked to Sam Munson about the cover two defense, and more, just talking to people, talking to guys like Sean Barber that played it, talking to guys like Sam Munson that study it. A zone defense that doesn't get a whole lot of pressure, doesn't cover really well, and leaves a whole lot of space open sounds terrible against this Chiefs offense.
So they run a lot of zone coverage, a lot of cover two more than anybody else in the NFL. And in particular, Patrick Mahomes this season has been incredible against zone coverage. He's got the highest PFF grade of any quarterback in the league in zone coverage, almost 92 in grading, 20 touchdowns against zone alone. So, you know, the Colts run more zone than anybody else, and they're going to be facing a guy that's been incredible at carving it up.
Dusty, I actually need a little bit of breaking news. We'll get to it on this side and not make you wait through the break for it. It looks like there's been a change of heart in Denver. Shocker, Gary Kubiak will not be Denver's offensive coordinator, league sources tell ESPN. After lengthy discussions, Denver and Gary Kubiak had different ideas on staffing and offensive philosophies, both sides going in different directions. I'm telling you, at the end of the season, we're going to have this conversation of, are the Broncos terrified of Patrick Mahomes? Right now, the it thing to do in the NFL is to go get yourself a young quarterback guru. The Broncos hired a 60-year-old defensive guy. And then the plan was, you got Vic Fangio to run the defense, you got Gary Kubiak to run the offense. 2 days later, we still don't know who the offensive coordinator is for the Denver Broncos. Shockingly enough, it is a mess in the Broncos coaching situation.
I mean, hasn't it been a mess in Denver for a few years now? I mean, they can't seem to get the quarterback right. Once Peyton Manning left, they've got that wrong with Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, and who was the kid? Trevor, what's his face? Trevor Siemian from Northwestern. I mean, John Elway's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He can't get a quarterback in there. He's already, on his second coach now in 3 years? And now Kubiak comes back and then doesn't go, and Kubiak's tight with Elway. So, yeah, it's a mess in Denver, and I'm happy about it. That's great. That's good. I mean, if this is the Mahomes effect that makes Denver an absolute train wreck, more power to it, man. I love it.
Coming up in just a minute, it has been hard for me to shake a feeling I have about Patrick Mahomes, and you've got a checklist of what the quarterback has accomplished so far this season and what could be ahead. Coming up at 3:30, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in a national cash contest, and Sean Barber's going to come back for a little Give Us Props. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
2nd and 10. He looks the other way, and it's intercepted. His receiver wasn't even looking, and this is Sorensen to the end zone.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And Sean Barber will join us in studio for a little Give Us Props. We'll do some player props for the Chiefs and Colts playoff game. We'll also get you a weather update with Joe Loria of Fox 4. He will be on coming up at 3:45. But I can admit this, but I've been struggling with this all week.
Your sinus infection?
I've been struggling with that too.
All right.
I've been struggling with first-year quarterback going up against quarterback with playoff experience. That if I just take away some inherent bias from watching Mahomes as closely as I've watched him, not watching Andrew Luck as closely as I've watched Patrick Mahomes so far this season, on the surface, that doesn't sound good. Now, I understand that Mahomes has continued to be the outlier in every quarterback conversation that literally we've ever had. You aren't supposed to be as successful as quickly as Patrick Mahomes has been. You're not supposed to, in your first season as a starter, throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdown passes. But when I look at so far what's happened in the playoffs, first-year quarterbacks are 0-3. When I look at first-year quarterbacks in the last 15 games, they're 4-11. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about it like this. I can't think of another team in the playoffs where their quarterback has to be great in order for them to win. We can go through the other 7 teams. I don't think the expectation is your quarterback has to throw for 300 yards, has to throw for 3 touchdowns, can't have more than 1 interception because your defense can't win a low-scoring game. Mahomes might be the only player in the NFL playoffs on the offensive side who you look at, he has to be great in order for his team to win. Man, that's a heavy burden, a heavy expectation on not even just any player in their first playoff game. You can be 27, I don't care. This is your first time playing in this is the most important game, the most difficult game he's ever played in his entire life. The expectations placed on Mahomes, I would say, is for most players, is pretty unrealistic going into Saturday's game.
You sound like me right now. You sound like me this week right now. I mean, seriously, you sound like it's starting to hit you that like a young quarterback's going into a really difficult situation and he's got to carry the weight of the entire game on him because his defense can't stop anybody. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, right? I mean, those are some of my biggest concerns, too. I'm not concerned at all about Mahomes. I think Mahomes will play fine. I think he'll do his job.
But this is the thing, though. I'm not worried about Mahomes laying an egg in this.
Yeah.
Like, I think Lamar Jackson laid an egg in this.
No, he won't.
I've seen enough of this team to know that if Mahomes doesn't make the magical third down, DeMarcus Robinson's going across the body, if you don't make that play, I don't know if you win. I don't think that's what Breeze has to do. I don't think that's what Goff has to do. Yeah. I don't think that's what Nick Foles has to do this week in order for their team to win. I think the expectation placed on Mahomes is, kid, you got to go out there and be great against a quarterback in Andrew Luck, who is close to being your equal. Not as good as you, but Andrew Luck's certainly capable. He's played in these moments at home, on the road. He's been down big in playoff games. He's come back. Like, Luck has gone through the fire more than once. This is Mahomes' first time going through the fire.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. That's what I've been trying to say all week. It's going to be a really difficult game for the Chiefs. And if Mahomes doesn't come out there and play great, there's a decent chance the Chiefs lose this game. But what he's been able to do to this point, I think, is pretty darn impressive. And Dusty and I were kicking this around in the office earlier today, and it got me thinking. You know, I mean, let's go down the checklist. And not my typical check-the-box list that I've talked about over the course of the season, about bringing a team back from behind, playing on national TV, you know, being able to throw the ball away when there's nothing there, all that stuff. I'm talking about like a checklist here. The Chiefs finally drafted a quarterback for the first time since 1983. So you can check that off, right? You know, he broke Lynn Dawson's touchdown pass record, you know, in a ridiculous amount of time. All right, he's the second player in the history of the league to throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in his season. His resume is stacked right now. You know, the Chiefs are checking off some of the curses, some of the things that they've had to deal with for a long, long time. Lenny's record was up there for way too many years, right? Now, if he wins this game, he'd be the first quarterback to lead the Chiefs to an AFC title game since Joe Montana. So, big shoes, big stuff here. And he could also be the first quarterback to lead the Chiefs to a Super Bowl since Lenny did it. And he could also be the first quarterback to quarterback his team to an AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium. So the list of the things that he could accomplish if the Chiefs win this game is ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's remarkable where he's come in such a short period of time, which is why I don't feel like Mahomes is even going to come close to laying an egg. I think he's going to play well. I'm not worried about Mahomes, Tyreek, Kelsey, the offense, whichever one of the Williams guys you want to throw back there in the backfield, Charcandrick West, whatever, Conley, Robinson, they're going to be fine. Like, I'm not worried about the offense whatsoever, but if Mahomes can play well enough, as you talked about, C-Dot, if it's 300 yards, a couple of touchdowns, maybe one pick, you know, keeps everything clean for the most part, and the Chiefs get a win, he's going into a, you know, and get rid of this home playoff ghost that, you know, that we've been dealing with, the stench that's been all over this city since, you know, way back in 1995 when the Colts and Jim Harbaugh did it to us. This guy is going to take a legitimate jump, and he will be on the Mount Rushmore of athletes in Kansas City. There's no doubt about it if he wins this game.
I think you can say, if you really factor in everything, that Mahomes has maybe had the greatest season any quarterback's ever had. When you factor in all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you factor in age and just experience.
Yeah.
That when Brady did that stuff, Brady was in year 10. When Manning was at this level, Manning had gone through the fires. Man, we're truly seeing a season I don't really know if you can replicate. Now, it's not the Kurt Warner, I was working at Hy-Vee stocking groceries kind of story.
Yeah.
But, man, 22, 23 years old, first season in the NFL, 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards. So, like, the conflict I'm having is, on one side, I'm seeing a quarterback do something that has literally never been done before. Like, or if it's been done, it's done by two of the five greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. But on the other side, it's the playoffs are not built for young players to dominate at this position. They're normally built for guys who are in year three, year four, who have kind of gone through it some tests a little bit. They finally break through, or teams that have great defenses kind of break through a little bit. It's normally not the 23-year-old quarterback that has to carry his offense and carry this team. That's normally not the formula to get you to a Super Bowl. Again, first-year quarterbacks, 4-11 in their last 15 games.
And 0 for the week, last week, in the wild card round.
That Mahomes is maybe the only offensive player. Maybe you can say Ezekiel Elliott, just because of Dak's dependency on him. He has to be, and luck might actually be in this. Luck probably has to be great on the road for them to win, too.
For sure, for sure.
Or Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Like, either Marlon Mack has 30 carries for 180 yards and Luck doesn't have to do a whole lot, or Luck has one of those, hey, I'm going to carry us to it. Like, it's only a handful of players I think have to play great in order for their team to advance.
And I'll give Mahomes this, too, which is another reason why I think he's going to be really good. And this is something that we've touched on over the course of the season. I mean, when he was at Texas Tech, he was basically in a situation where if his team was going to win, it was all on him. I mean, they had the worst and the second worst defense in Division I when Mahomes was the quarterback at Texas Tech. So this is, and granted, playing in the Big 12 and playing in Lubbock and having to come back against Iowa State or pick your team in the Big 12 is quite a bit different than doing it in the NFL playoffs in the divisional round against Andrew Luck and the Colts. So I get that part of it, but I think he is in a situation that's not foreign to him in a football game where it's either him or they don't win. And I kind of feel like that's where we are with the Chiefs tomorrow.
Coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And Sean Barber will join us in studio as we will go through the NFL player props for Colts and Chiefs. Your chance to win $1,000. Keep it locked in right here. So drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Let's give props with the guys from The Drive.
It is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word SUMMER, S-U-M-M-E-R, SUMMER, to 72881. That's SUMMER. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s and warm weather like the summer, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you all three of those things. Weekdays from 7A to 7P. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Text the word SUMMER, S-U-M-M-E-R. Text the word SUMMER to 72881. Your national cash contest code word 4330 is SUMMER. So, we have brought in Sean Barber from Arrowhead Pride. You like to consider yourself to be Sean Stradamus. We are going to go through official player props. If you'd like to bet legally or illegally, you can actually lay a couple of ducats down on these player props. Dusty, who is now the host of Give Us Props, will go through the list.
All right, Mr. Barber, or Barber Damas, or whatever you go by, Sean.
Sean Stradamus.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Props number one. Sorry?
Barbershop, too. He goes by. He likes to call himself Barbershop. He goes third person on us a lot.
Why is it always I like to call myself? I like to. I don't call myself anything. I don't talk to myself. I don't talk in the third person.
I thought when you texted, like Barbershop said.
People call me Barbershop. People call me S Dot. I've heard.
You're S Dot and he's C Dot?
I've heard from making some preseason predictions that people have known me as Sean Stradamus.
Yeah.
Because of some great picks I make, but I don't call myself any of those things.
Okay.
I acknowledge, you know, if you say it, I'm going to say what's up.
Okay. All right. Sean Barber, the heartbreak kid. Props number one, Mahomes passing yards set is at 314.5, and Andrew Luck is set at 305.5. Who hits the over?
I'm going to say Pat Mahomes definitely hits that over. 314, I think he's going to end up probably closer to 370. And Andrew Luck is going to go over again. He'll be closer to the 400. So they both easily hit it.
I am going to take the under on both of them because of the weather and the NFL playoffs. I think we're seeing that they're calling less penalties. So the game's a little bit more physical that I think has made passing a little bit more difficult. I think the ceiling that offensive has is just diminished. Like we talk about the Chiefs' offense isn't the same. No team's offense is the same as it was. The NFL's just changed. I'm going to go with the under on both of these. If I had to pick one to go over, I'd probably pick Luck because I think they're going to be down in the game if I had to pick one of these two.
What was that, Fanny? What is that? I picked the under, but if I had to pick the – what is that?
I would pick the under on both of them.
Let's just stick with that then.
Comma. If I have to pick the over for only one of the two, I would pick Andrew Luck's over Mahomes because I think the Colts are going to be losing, so they're going to have to throw to keep up with the Chiefs' offense.
I'm going to go with something our guy, Barbershop S. Dot, whatever the hell he calls himself, said earlier in the week about how Mahomes is going to be able to pick apart this cover two, and the middle of the field is going to be wide open. So I'm going to take the over for Mahomes, and I'm also going to take the over for Andrew Luck because I'm with you, C-Dot. I think the Chiefs are going to get a lead here. And I think they're going to be coming from behind. I think Andrew Luck's going to have to pass a lot. So I'm taking the over on both despite the bad weather. And it goes to something you talked about with the flags. I know a guy that knows a guy that talked to a guy that knows somebody that's a big deal, the league, right? And I was told, and Barbara, maybe you can clarify this, referees don't get judged and they don't get graded in playoff games. That happens in the regular season, which means a lot of the times they're not worried about not throwing a flag or throwing a flag, so they keep them in their pocket. So I think the flags are going to be at a minimum. So I'm taking the over on both of these guys.
I do not know about the flags being at the minimum, but I do know from a very good quarterback that snow does not bother them. Snow is – they can throw in the snow. They can drive the ball through the snow. Snow is not something the quarterbacks worry about. It's wind. And from what I heard, the wind might be at the most 10 miles an hour.
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, quarterback throws it over 50 miles an hour over mountains. Moving on, number two on the props, Tyreek Hill, 79.5 yards receiving. And then the guy on the other team that has kind of the same name, T.Y. Hilton, 88.5 receiving yards.
Well, I've already said I think T.Y. Hilton is a less accomplished receiver than one Tyler Lockett.
You think Tyler Lockett's better than T.Y. Hilton?
I've already said this. I know some things that I say. What?
There's some attitude. No one
agrees on it, but when
because it's not true. I don't. That's why no one agrees with you because it's false.
When someone averages 14 plus yards a target, not a catch, but a target.
We're talking targets here.
We're talking targets. Every time you even think about going Tyler Lockett's way, you end up with 14 plus yards.
Yeah.
That stat right there alone puts him in the top three this year.
It's not really what the stat says, but it's okay.
Well, what does that say?
The target. That's just when they throw. So that's the average of all of it. That's not every. That would be per catch what you're talking about.
I said when you are even throwing his way, whether it's complete or incomplete, that's the target, right?
Okay, so at minimum it's 14 yards down the field. That's what you're saying. I just feel like you're trying to be stat guy when you ain't stat guy. Your eye test, your field guy. Leave the numbers to me, Sean Barber.
Take his total yardage and you divide it by the times he's been targeted. Is that simple enough?
You want to know?
Can we make that simple enough?
Sean,
just get 14.2.
You want to know how? Is that enough? That Tyler Lockett isn't as good as T.Y. Hilton. You have to come up with the stat to try to tell me why when it's not obvious. Because T.Y. Hilton's better than Tyler Lockett, and you know that.
It's obvious to me who is on the uptick and who's not.
You just know his dad, so you like Tyler Lockett.
So when I go to my list, I do love Kevin Lockett.
Too. I mean, he's a great guy. I do love his son's just not as good as.
No, he's better. You're right. Not as good.
Father Hilton's son. I don't know his dad's name.
So T.Y. Hilton will come up with an under as an underachiever, and I hope he wear that clown mask to Kansas City. So we can put a bozo nose on the top on top of that clown.
You like saying clowns too, don't you? You like that word. You use that a lot. Jokers and clowns.
Jokers and clowns. Yeah. So he come clowning to Kansas City. We're gonna send his butt back to Indianapolis under 88 yards. And my man T.Y. is gonna go over 79 on like 2-3 throws.
I am going to go over for Tyreek Hill. I'm going to go under for T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton does not have a game in which he has 100 yards outside. I think the weather is going to play a big factor in this. And T.Y. Hilton, I think they're going to be way more focused on giving it to Marlon Mack. I do think that Tyreek Hill against that zone is going to find a way to make one or two, three at the most big plays in the game. I feel more comfortable taking Tyreek Hill's over than T.Y. Hilton's.
I've been trying to be positive all day, Sean Barber. That's why I'm wearing the Chiefs stocking cap. I got the Chiefs Kingdom flag flying at my house. I got a jersey on. I got the AFC West champion shirt underneath this.
I see you, brother.
But I got to take the over on Hilton because – have you guys seen the Chiefs in pass coverage? I mean, come on now. Like seriously. And I know he's not great outside. T.Y.
But that's where the game's being played.
I understand that. But have you seen the Chiefs pass defense?
I seen T.Y. Hilton in 2014 game.
You didn't answer my question.
Go for 225 yards on the
Chiefs. You did not answer my question.
And I'm still going under.
Have you seen the Chiefs pass defense this year in the first 16 games of the season?
Yeah, I see the quarterback on his back a lot.
Okay.
I see turnovers.
Okay.
That's what I see.
So I'm taking the over on both. Tyreek's going over 79.5. T.Y. Hilton's going over 88.5.
All right, from Jokers and Clowns to Kelce and Ebron. Kelce's receiving yards total is set at 84.5. Whereas Ebron is set at, 46.5. What do you got here, guys?
I'm going to take the over on Ebron. I think Kelce's is actually pretty good. I'll take slight over on Kelce, not much over. This feels like a 5-for-90 in a touchdown game for Travis Kelce. I'll take the over.
Well, Bo Barbershop is going double over with this. Ebron, I think, because I got T.Y. on the under, I got a big day out of Ebron. I got him going for about 80 yards on the day. And because I've been talking up this cover two the entire time about Kelce being able to dominate the cover two. Now, the one thing we got to say about the cover two is that's the shell, right? So from a cover two look, you can actually play zone or man. So you can play that cover two with two deep safeties, but you can play five underneath in a man concept. Still with the two deep, they call it cover five. But either one they're in, the mismatch on the field is to Kelce because none of these first or second year linebackers can cover him.
None of those jokers can cover him.
None of them jokers have a chance of covering one Travis Kelce. So I got Kelce going over at about 125 yards that game.
Yeah, I don't think he's going that high, but I'm going to go over on both of these guys too. I talked about this earlier that Ebron's a guy that the Chiefs are going to have a problem with. I mean, neither one of these teams are really good at covering the tight ends. And as Barbershop S-Dot said earlier, that this is a perfect defense for Travis Kelce to eat. So I'm taking the over on both.
Sean, I'm a little surprised you think the game's going to be as high scoring offensively given the weather. Given weather and playoffs, I'm surprised you think it's going to be this offensively driven.
I don't think that I got my score sheet quarter by quarter in the production studio, so it ain't gonna like I don't mix words. I put it up on the board and then I let the numbers fall as they may.
Let the cards fall where they may. No, yeah. I got you.
You know what I'm saying? That's throw it nice up in there, let that. It fall as it may. Because I mean, the one thing I don't do is come in here talking about overs and unders without putting some hard numbers behind it. Because, we're talking about way over. Not
definitely
over.
Don't want the soft numbers like yards per target, that foolishness you gave us earlier today.
Man, that's an amazing stat. You go back in history and find out how many guys in history of football.
Didn't, in your defense, didn't Lockett have like a perfect quarterback rating or like the quarterback rating when thrown to him was perfect or something crazy this year?
Something like that did happen. Yeah. I don't know the exact stats behind it, but it's a.
You think the title Lockett is the year he's Julio had, Jones on this show.
Well, this is what I want to know. You tell me T.Y. Hilton is better than Tyler Lockett, but then you say he's going to not get 88 yards.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a good day. I mean, I think Ebron can have a decent day in this game.
So Tyreek Hill.
And there's other guys on the team that can have good days. Watson had a great day, but Hopkins didn't have a good day. Or Kiki ate in that game. I mean, that's possible.
Hopkins didn't have no good day.
I said Hopkins didn't have a good day, but Kiki had the good day. That's what I think is going to happen in this. I don't think T.Y. is going to be – I don't think he's going to be dominant in this game.
I know why he ain't going to be dominant, because he ain't as good as Tyler.
Marlon Mack, his rushing and receiving yards is 85.5. Do you think that's over or under for Marlon Mack?
I see some offense. I'm going over. Over Marlon Mack, total yards over 85.
I'm taking the over on that, too, if we're going rushing and receiving. Absolutely. I mean, the Chiefs can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. So, yeah, I'm going over for Marlon Mack.
This is basically just asking me, do I think the game's going to be close? I'm going to go yes, so I'll take the over on this. I'll take the over for Damian Williams. His is 78.5, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I'll take the under on that.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Mack's is rushing and receiving 85. I mean, he can have 60 yards, have one good catch, and that gets you in the over in this one. So, yeah, I'll take the over on that. Same, too, for Damian Williams. I actually do think that Kansas City's going to come out and try to run the football. I think both of them hit their over.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on Williams just because I think you got – With the defense that they're going to be playing with, their cover two shell. Am I saying that right, Sean?
Cover two shell.
Cover two shell. Well, they're going to be playing that. And, I mean, they're going to try to throw the football. I mean, the Chiefs absolutely have to throw the football in this game. If they get a lead and they try to run the football and get Damian Williams a bunch of carries, I'm going to throw something through a window. You got to defend on your MVP here. So, I'm taking the under on Williams.
That is our guy, Sean Barber. With Sean Stradamus. If he tells you the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points, I would listen to him because he said at the beginning of the season they would. Well, and I didn't trust him, and they did.
What's the final score in this game, Sean Barber?
Final score, 33-27. I wish I had brought my scorecard in here.
Well, you're not prepared for your segment. So
Likens can enlighten everybody. We can go quarter by quarter real quick.
We don't got to do that. Okay. No one cares who you have winning the second quarter of this football game. No one's like, I can't wait to hear that Sean Barber has the Chiefs winning 3-0 in the second quarter. No one cares.
Well, Sean does, and Sean of the Dead, here's your quarter by quarter. First quarter, 7-7. Second quarter,
this is maybe the
17-10 Chiefs. At halftime, 17-10 Chiefs. Third quarter, the Chiefs take a commanding lead and go up 30-17. And the start of the fourth quarter, well, they only get 3 points, but they end up winning 33-27. These are Sean Barber's predictions. He also got my name right. I'm NFL linebacker.
That's our guy, Sean Barber. Coming up, the text line has been trying to tell us that the bad weather is just a myth. We're going to talk to somebody who went to school to learn about the weather. Joe Lawyer with Fox 4 coming up next is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Fourth and nine. They're chasing after him. Mahomes. In trouble, flings it across his body, and it's caught by Hill. Hill has it. He came back for it, and he's out of bounds at the 12. An amazing play by the Chiefs. I'm not sure anybody else, Aaron Rodgers maybe, in the National Football League can make this play, and if it's not Tyreek Hill, no one else gets open on this play. Look at Hill.
So I've been reading the text line. Text line keeps telling me not to be worried about the weather. Well, I didn't know that Brian Busby listened to the show. I didn't know that Joe Lawyer listened to the show. So you know what I said?
What'd you say?
Instead of me being worried and frightened about the weather, let me talk to somebody that went to school to learn about the weather, that studies it, that follows the weather for a living. So I called up friend of the show, Joe Lawyer from Fox 4, to learn more about the weather for tomorrow's game.
Up, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
I'm cold, Joe. I want summer. I want palm trees. Can you make that happen?
It's Brad, it's not golf weather, my friend.
That's true.
Not golf weather.
I actually played Sunday. I wish it was still this nice.
Right. We've had actually a few nice little days out there. But today, quite the opposite. So let's kind of dive into it because I know your time is short on a busy Chiefs day. They've just upgraded the Kansas City metropolitan area to a winter storm warning. So that's a pretty big deal. That means basically we're expecting at least, give or take, about 6 inches of snow. And there is upside to that. Now, you look outside, you're stuck in traffic, whatever the case may be. So far, we're kind of getting a break on the roads because there's still a little bit of residual warmth in there. But the roads will progressively, over the next few hours, start to become a little bit more slushy, then a little bit more snow-covered. And then when the real core of this storm kind of gets going here, after about 7, 8, 9 o'clock or so tonight, through about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, that's when we're expecting the bulk of the 4 to 8 inches worth of snow to come on down. And there might be some areas east of here that actually get a little bit more than that. So that's kind of everything in a pretty small and contained little nutshell. Bring on the questions.
Well, I'm not actually worried about the roads in this context. I am. But once I get home, I ain't leaving until the roads are cleared. I am worried about Arrowhead at 3 o'clock tomorrow. What is it going to be like? How is the field going to be? How does this winter storm advisory affect the game?
Yeah, so here are things to think about. The field, I think, is going to be fine. It'll probably be more wet. They've got it covered now. They've got units grass. That's how they were able to grow grass a couple of weeks ago before the – first, you know, before the end of the season and in between. So they've grown some nice grass out there, actually, the last couple of weeks. So the field is heated. So I'm not worried about snow impacting a running game or anything like that. However, with that said, it may be snowing lighter than it is now, but it may be snowing during the game itself. So that snow will melt on the field, and the field may get wet. So whether or not that's impactful for the running game and the kicking game, we'll have to see. I'm not expecting much wind out of this, so that aspect of things, unlike the blizzard, is not going to be an issue. So the field is probably going to be wet but not white.
Talking to our guy Joe Loria from Fox 4, Weather Genius. All right, Joe, so no wind because our expert in here, Sean Barber, who played linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, he said players can deal with the snow, but not the wind. The wind's what really screws it up for quarterbacks. So the wind's not going to be an issue tomorrow?
I really don't think so. There might be a little northeast wind around 10-ish miles an hour, maybe 15 miles an hour. But, you know, that's not unusual. That's actually pretty typical for us, for this part of the country. But anything much beyond that, I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be 30, 40, 50 miles an hour like what we saw during the blizzard. That's guaranteed. I guarantee you it's not going to be that windy. But we'll have our typical 10, 15 miles an hour. A couple of things to think about. One, for the early, early tailgaters, and I know they open up those gates, I think at 10:30 or something like that?
Yeah, 10:30.
Okay, so there are going to be some issues. One, getting from point A to point B. The roads will be in recovery mode during the morning tomorrow, especially after 9 o'clock or so. But, you know, the treatments and the plow can only do so much so quickly. So I would expect if you're planning on getting out there at 10:30 in the morning and you want to have full 5 hours of tailgating and you want to be there at 10:30, you are definitely going to have to leave earlier than what you would normally leave. I mean, I would probably give you yourselves that early in the morning, maybe an extra half hour at least, to get from point A to point B. If you're coming in from further east, let's say if you're coming in from, or you know folks coming in from Columbia or Richmond, Missouri, or Sedalia, and they're making a little bit of a longer drive in, there's actually going to be a little more snow on the Missouri side, let's say maybe one or two counties east of Kansas City. They could get 8 to 10 inches. Wouldn't shock me. So the road conditions, the further east you get, will actually be worse than the road conditions here in Kansas City. And it's not going to be a picnic for us either. As far as the parking lot goes, keep in mind this is going to be a good chunk of snow, and they've got to put that close somewhere. And at least in my experience, typically, they kind of pile that snow up around the light stands, if I remember correctly. So that might reduce the actual number of parking spots, or maybe your favorite parking spots for tailgating. So you may want to think about that and text some of your buddies and say, hey, you know, we always used to hang out under G, whatever it is. Maybe we need to, you know, think about hanging out in blank, just so that you all can meet, maybe not, you know, in your designated spot if you get moved or there's a huge snow pile or something out there. I would suspect the snowball fights are going to be fast and for a while, yeah, during the afternoon tomorrow.
Excuse me, and that was our guy Joe Loria from Fox 4. Joe, thanks a lot for coming on today, man.
All right, guys, anytime.
See you, Joe.
That was Joe Loria. I don't think you can really get a more complete breakdown.
Very thorough.
Of what the situation is. I got to change my mind a little bit. I don't know if the weather's going to be the factor. That's what I got from all of that. I got from that the weather's not going to be the factor that maybe I thought it was going to be. I thought the weather was going to play a part in this game. I don't think it is. Not for listening to an expert.
No, and Sean Barber thinks he's an expert. He's dancing like Tyreek Hill at practice right now. He's, you know, patting himself on the back here. But
he ain't lying.
Yeah, if it's not windy, I think the game will be fine.
Coming up in just a minute, we need four callers, 913-576-7610. It is time for Pick a Player. You're going up against the guys from Arrowhead Pride. We need four callers. The winner gets a large pepperoni pizza from the other place. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. Pick a Player coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.